All right, so today we're diving into, you guessed it, the Book of Joshua. But we're not talking about the battles this time.
No, no battle.
No, we're going deeper. Like, what happens after, you know?
The aftermath.
Yeah, in chapters 13 through 19.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, imagine, like, you watch an action movie.
Uh-huh.
All the battles and stuff.
Right.
And then you flip to the back.
Yeah.
And there's this detailed, like, real estate contract.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at. All these descriptions, boundaries, who gets what city, like a giant property survey.
Right, right. Exactly. A massive one.
Yeah. And we've got Dr. David Howard's lecture to help us out. He's noticed some really interesting stuff in all this.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how much space Joshua dedicates to this.
Yeah.
You know? Like, more than the battles themselves.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's all these lists and stuff. And I'll admit, the first time I read through Joshua, I kind of skimmed those parts.
Yeah, I can see that.
I was all about the action. But you're saying there's more to it than just names and boundaries.
Oh, absolutely. Way more. I mean, these lists, they're like the heart of the book, really.
Okay, so not just like a boring record of who got what land.
No, no, not at all. They're about God's faithfulness. You know, and the identity of the Israelites. Think about it. They're finally in the promised land.
Right. After all that wandering.
Exactly. Centuries. And God's not just giving them some vague promise. He's giving them something concrete, something they can touch, walk around on.
So it's like this giant, like, divinely ordained deed solidifying their claim.
Precisely. And, you know, just like a deed today. It served a really important purpose, prevented disputes, you know, established order. This was their land, officially.
But wouldn't it have been, I don't know, easier to just draw a map?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, pages and pages of geographical descriptions. Who wants to read that?
Well, remember, this was way before Google Maps.
Right, good point.
These lists, they were the permanent record, you know, and they had so much detail. A map couldn't capture all that.
Okay, yeah, I'm starting to see why they're important. But Dr. Howard also points out that, you know, there's all these variations in how the land's described. Some have detailed boundaries, others just have city lists, and some have, like, neither. What's up with that?
That's where it gets really interesting. Dr. Howard, he suggests these variations, they actually reflect something about each tribe, like their personality.
Oh, okay.
For example, Judah, they had this leadership role, so they get a very detailed boundary description.
So they needed to be super clear about their borders.
Exactly. But then you have a tribe like Benjamin. They just get a city list. Maybe that tells us they were more, I don't know, urban, focused on trade and stuff.
So it's not just about dividing the land. It's about highlighting each tribe's, like, unique identity.
Exactly. These lists give us this glimpse into their history, their strengths, even hints at their future role in the nation.
This is reminding me of something we talked about before. You know, the daughters of Zelophehad, they challenged the whole inheritance thing and ended up getting land, even though they didn't have any sons.
Oh, yeah. Great example.
Does that fit into this idea of unique identities?
Absolutely. Their story, it shows that, you know, even with these detailed records, there was room for, I don't know, flexibility, fairness. It wasn't just some rigid system. The fact that it's included, you know, in the middle of all these lists, that tells us something. It shows how complex this land distribution was.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely seeing these lists in a whole new light now. It's like, it's more than just lines on a map, you know. It's telling us about the people, their history, their relationship with the land.
Right, and don't forget, these lists, they also mattered to the soldiers who actually fought for the land. They weren't just legal documents to them.
Why?
They were like, I don't know, proof of their victory, a way to honor the sacrifices they made. Every inch of that land was hard won.
Wow, that's really powerful. It gives a whole other layer of meaning to those lists. But I have to ask, I mean, they're not exactly a page turner, are they? All those names and boundaries. So how do we make this relevant for someone studying Joshua today? What's the takeaway?
Well, I think it's about connecting it to the bigger picture. You know, instead of just seeing a list of names, imagine yourself as one of the Israelites, you know, finally setting foot in this land.
Okay, yeah. After all that time wandering in the desert, I'd be pretty excited.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And these lists, they weren't just about dividing up the land. They were about creating a sense of belonging, you know, rootedness. It's like getting the keys to your first house. You want to explore every corner, make it your own.
So it's a way for them to connect with the land on a personal level, to say, this is ours, this is where we belong.
Exactly. It's like when you read a family history and you discover your ancestors lived in a particular town centuries ago. Suddenly that place, it takes on a whole new meaning. It becomes part of your own story. That's what these lists did. They connected them to their past, their present, and their future.
I see. So that's why Dr. Howard calls them the heart of the book. It's not just about the land. It's about the people and their relationship with it.
And remember, this land wasn't just given to them. They fought for it. Every boundary, every city name on those lists represented a hard-won victory.
Right. So for the soldiers, those lists weren't just a bunch of names. They were a testament to their courage, their sacrifice.
Exactly. Imagine being a soldier who fought in those battles. Years later, you could point to those lists and say, "My blood was shed for that piece of land. My friend gave his life for that city." They became a living memorial, a way to honor those who fought and died.
That's powerful. It gives those lists a whole new weight.
And it speaks to the importance of memory and legacy. These lists weren't just for the generation who received the land. They were meant to be passed down, to remind future generations of their heritage, their history, the price that was paid for their freedom.
It's like a historical record etched into the landscape itself. But I'm curious, Dr. Howard mentions that some tribes receive larger or more prominent territories than others. Was that just random, or was there a reason behind it?
That's another fascinating detail. The size and location, they weren't arbitrary. They often reflected the tribe's role within the larger community, their historical significance, even their future destiny.
Wait, are you saying these lists actually foreshadow events that happen later in Israel's history? Like, give me an example.
Take the tribe of Judah, for example. They received the largest and most strategically important territory, which hints at their future role as the leading tribe from which King David and ultimately the Messiah would descend.
Okay, that's pretty amazing. So these lists aren't just about dividing land. They're dropping clues about the future. It's like a coded message.
That's a great way to put it. And it challenges us to read these lists not just as a dry historical footnote, but as a dynamic unfolding story full of symbolism.
I'm starting to see them less as a real estate contract and more like a treasure map with hidden meanings waiting to be discovered.
Exactly. And as we explore those clues, we gain a deeper understanding, not only of Joshua, but of the entire biblical narrative.
But let's be honest, even if these lists are full of hidden meanings, they can still be pretty tough to digest. It's a lot of names, a lot of boundaries, a lot of detail. How can we make this relevant for someone studying Joshua today? What's the takeaway?
The key is to move beyond the surface level. Connect with the deeper message. These lists might seem like a dry recitation of facts, but they're actually a testament to God's faithfulness, the Israelites' identity, and the power of memory and legacy.
So it's about seeing those lists not just as a list, but as a story. A story about God's provision, about the Israelites finding their place in the world, and about the importance of remembering where you came from.
Exactly. And it also challenges us to think about our own sense of belonging. If land ownership was so central to their identity, how do we define our own sense of place and belonging in today's world?
That's a really interesting question. It makes me think about how our relationship with land has changed. We're not necessarily tied to a specific piece of land in the same way.
Precisely. So what are the things that give us a sense of rootedness of belonging in a world where geographical boundaries might be less important? That's something worth pondering as we continue our deep dive into Joshua.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about that, you know, like how our idea of home and belonging, is it that different from theirs? They were literally like putting down roots, building a whole nation.
And those roots, they went way back.
Yeah.
You know, generations. This land was promised to their ancestors. So their whole like history, their identity, it was tied to this promise.
So it wasn't just owning property. It was like inheriting their future, their legacy.
Exactly. And, you know, in a way, these lists are that promise being fulfilled. It's like God showing them, look, I kept my word.
So those lists, they're less like a property survey and more like, I don't know, a sacred promise, a covenant.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. And it reminds us, too, about law and order. You know, a stable society needs that. And remember, the Israelites, they were going from nomads wandering around.
Settling down, yeah.
Right. So they needed clear boundaries, rules, so everyone knew what was what.
To avoid conflict. Yeah, it makes sense.
These lists, they were like the framework for their new society. Like setting up a constitution.
A blueprint for the future to make sure that land actually became, you know, the promised land.
Exactly. And that takes us back to, you know, what we were talking about belonging. If land was so central to how the Israelites saw themselves, what about us?
Right. Like what gives us that sense of rootedness today?
Is it family, community, values, something else entirely?
It's something to think about for sure.
It really is. And, you know, maybe just like those lists, our own stories, what we believe in, the things that matter to us, maybe those are like a compass, you know? They guide us, help us figure out who we are and where we belong.
Wow, I gotta say, I never thought I'd get so much out of a bunch of lists. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive. It's really changed how I see the book of Joshua.
My pleasure. And, you know, even in those parts of the Bible that seem, I don't know, a little boring at first glance, there's always something deeper there. Keep digging, keep asking questions, and you'll be surprised what you find.